Our scripture today is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 2 to 10. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible if you'd like, or a Bible at home if you have one. But let's pray before we start reading. I thank you so very much, we all do, for the show of grace in our lives. You giving us your word, helping us to walk this life, not leaving us alone, but guiding us. Lord, this is a show of your grace. But not only that, but leading us and guiding us in this very moment. We ask you that we hear as we read your word what it is that you want us to hear. We might be encouraged, we might be challenged. Whatever it is that you desire us to be, we pray that we are. And ask for your mercy upon the expounding on the word. That it too is used for your glory and yours alone. Whatever it is you may get from it, you may use from it, that you do so, that we might see you and only you. We thank you, Lord, for your glorious gift. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 10. Hear now God's word. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in body or out of body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, again, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. So now no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. And because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Am I qualified? A question I ask myself quite often throughout my life, am I qualified? We have here two official job qualification requirements. You might recognize the one on the right. At least 35 years old. A native-born American citizen, a resident of the United States for at least 14 years. These are the sole qualifications for what job? President of the United States. These are the sole qualifications, official qualifications for the President of the United States. Here's another list of qualifications. I know it's a little hard to read. I'll read it to you. Appearance and grooming. Professional qualifications, experience and knowledge, communication skill in English, leadership skills, potential for growth, reasoning and judgment, computer skills. This is the official qualification requirements for what job? McDonald's. This is what you have to be to qualify to work at McDonald's. A little more difficult to qualify for McDonald's, it seems, than to be president, I would assume. I always think about qualifications. What are they? What does it mean to be qualified for something? You know, I'll be honest, in my life, I got turned down twice to work at McDonald's. put my application in twice, and they denied me twice. So I didn't reach those qualifications. And I think about other areas of my life, and I ask myself all the time, am I qualified for this? When my son asked me to help him with his math homework, am I qualified for this? I heard a comedian once say that if you weren't good at seventh grade math in seventh grade, you're not going to be good at seventh grade math now. It doesn't change. All right. Tell you what, I barely get by. Stephanie's the one who's more qualified for helping with homework. Talking about my two kids, though, I look at my two kids, who they are, where they've been, where they're going, who they're going to be when they get older, what kind of adults are they going to be. Think about my part I play in that, and I think, am I qualified for this? It's not enough to know that I was once a kid. I don't remember being a kid very well. And I think about my fatherhood, and I think to myself, am I qualified for this? I think about me being a husband and thinking, am I qualified for this? Can I do this right? Can I mess it up? Yeah. Am I perfectly qualified for this? I don't think so. I think about being a pastor to you, the manner, standing up here preaching, teaching, helping you when you're in times of stress, trauma, help. About all the things throughout the years at all the other churches I've been, and I ask myself, am I qualified for this? I have my doubts. The question, am I qualified, you've all asked before. That's why I'm sharing all of this, because I know I'm not alone in asking myself, am I qualified? I'm sure you have too in many situations. I'm in good company when asking, am I qualified? In fact, Paul, in our scripture today, had to ask himself that same question. In fact, he was asked that question, am I qualified for this? Our scripture is from the third letter of Corinthians. How many of you knew that? I share this with you not to use my master's degree level education, because if I spent the money, I got to use it somehow. Now, I share this with you because the church of Corinthians was a difficult church for him. Now, I know it says 2 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians is made up of two letters. Second letter starts at around chapter 9 or 10. Paul had a lot of correspondence with them. And if you read Corinthians, both of them, 1st and 2nd, you'll see that he had a lot of issues, a lot of challenges, a lot of things came up that he had to address over and over and over and over again. And one of the things that he had to address in this church was that the people of the church were questioning his own qualifications. You see, when Paul left to go and help build up the other churches, there was a power vacuum that was left. Paul did his best to help fill it in with leaders of the church, but other people who wanted a taste of that power came in and start showing the church, telling the church how they were qualified to lead them and how Paul wasn't. In fact, Paul referred to them as super apostles. Think of Superman. You know, why do they call him Superman? Because he's more than just a man. He can do greater things than a man. Shoot lasers from his eyeballs, jump, fly, super strong. In that one movie, didn't he turn back time because Lois had died in a car accident? You know, I mean, that's a Superman. Paul called them super apostles because they kind of got that vibe. I'm better than Paul because I've done this, because I'm closer to God, because I've experienced this, because I know this. And they started bragging about themselves and boasting about themselves, about how good they were and why they should not follow Paul, but follow them. And let's be honest, Paul's got a lot of good reasons not to follow Paul. Sure, Paul gave his life to Christ. Paul has experienced so many trials and hardships and pains because of the devotion he had for Jesus. But Paul also stood watched Stephen get stoned and liked it. Appreciated that Stephen was getting stoned, gave his approval to Stephen's murder. Paul got a letter from the local court and went to towns, one after the other, breaking up families, throwing people in jail, getting them executed. Paul, you look at his past, you judge up those things, and you'll find reasons why Paul maybe shouldn't be qualified or wasn't qualified to serve the church. Paul also had some things he shared himself why he wasn't qualified. He wasn't a good speaker. He wasn't elegant. He wasn't charismatic. He wasn't flashy or showy. I look at the preachers online or on TV. When I think flashy or showy, good looking, Joel Osteen comes to mind. Man, that guy's got more charisma in his pinky nail than I have in my entire existence. That man, he can spin a sermon like he was, I don't know, like it was natural to him. So good at it. Paul wasn't that. And so the people started to leave and question Paul's leadership and not want him to be part of the church anymore. And so he shared this story. So uncomfortable it made him to share this that he made up a story that it didn't happen to him, but it happened to another man, using kind of a third-person storytelling technique to kind of take the heat off of himself. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, in body, out of body, doesn't know, caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. This was a sign of spiritual quality. That he was qualified to be a pastor because he had this experience by God. That if God was able to show him this vision, then boy, he was qualified. And they should listen to him. But again, he's not comfortable talking about this. He moves on. And he says, but I was talking to someone yesterday about boasting. Paul says almost the exact same thing. He says, there is no boasting. There's either telling the truth or telling a lie. Paul says, if I were to boast, I would be telling the truth. So it's not a bad thing, but he says, I'm not going to do it anyway. This experience in his life, we can glean from that it got him a little conceited, and he was afraid of that conceit. And so God gave him a thorn in the flesh. How many of you heard that phrase, thorn in the flesh? It's kind of a popular idea, a popular phrase here in 2 Corinthians. Many of us have heard about it. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Paul's thorn in the flesh. Any ideas? You can share. If you're on Zoom, you can share too. Type in chat. Matt can tell us what you type. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? His vision. Very, very popular idea. Paul's thorn in the flesh was his vision. Paul was blinded at Damascus. He was healed, but some had thought that healing wasn't complete. That Paul still had eye trouble as he got older. Yeah, maybe. Any other thoughts of thorn in the flesh? We don't know, but it's fun to think about it. Arthritis, heard that? That he had arthritis so bad that he wanted God to take it away from him. Nothing but pain, those of you who suffer from arthritis, and I've seen others suffer from it. It's nothing but constant pain. Constant pain. However form it takes, we want it gone. There are a number of physical ailments they thought Paul might have that might be his thorn in his flesh. But also, there are some thoughts that there were mental ailments that Paul had, depression, anxiety, an addiction of some sort that Paul wanted taken away. There's also some thoughts that he had some, what's the word? Mental, emotional kinds of things. Normal temptation sort of stuff, such as extreme addictions. Maybe he was addicted to lust or alcohol or even power. He recognized that these things aren't good to have, and so he asks, Lord, take them away. I find that when people suggest what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, it tells us less about Paul and more about the person that's sharing it. I've had ideas of what Paul's thorn in the flesh might be, but I recognized later that those were things that were my thorn. How many times have you prayed to God what Paul is praying to God, Lord, take this away from me? Is there anyone here who has never prayed that? I'm sure there are times that you probably have. Lord, take this away. Whatever it might be. I know I've prayed it a time or two, or three or four or several. Paul's answer, God's answer to Paul was put quite simply, no. Three times it so overwhelmed Paul. He just wanted to focus on his life, on his ministry, on God. And he couldn't. And he prayed and he cried out and he said, God, take this away from me. And God said, no. Paul, in those moments where he's struggling with whatever it is he's struggling with, thorn in his flesh, felt unqualified to do what it is that God called him to do. Unqualified in that moment. And Paul wanted to be qualified, to feel qualified to serve God. Lord, take this away from me so that I might be qualified to serve you. And God said, no. My strength is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, Paul, you were never qualified to do this. I'm the one who helps you do this. I'm the one who helps you to do the things that you do in the church. Paul always knew that. He always said that. He recognized that the power that he had was none but God's power alone. That the joys and the blessings that he was experiencing was from God. That all he was doing in terms of his qualifications was just serving God. He wasn't a great speaker, not a good teacher. Had a past that no one wanted. Was a prisoner in Rome. These are not qualifications for a leader. My wife, Stephanie, which is my only wife, we met January 23rd, 2003, something like that. And I loved her. Still love her. I loved her, and I wanted to ask her to marry me. And so I did what any logical person does, and I wrote a pros-con list. How she would make a good wife, how she wouldn't make a good wife, you know. We're all very logical and sane. And to be honest, Stephanie was not the woman that I had pictured in my mind when I pictured my wife. But I loved her. And I couldn't deny that. And I felt beyond any doubt that God put her in my life. And that God wanted her to be a part of me and me to be a part of her. She didn't reach the qualifications that I had written down when I was 17 years old for a wife. Only I found out that she far exceeded any qualifications that I could ever dream up. That the qualifications I had down weren't right to begin with. And think about that. I don't feel qualified to do a lot of the things that I do in life. And again, I share this because I know I'm not the only one in this boat. But God only says to Paul, trust me, that's the only qualification to do things in life, to do the ministry that God has laid down, trust me. And I will use you how I see fit, how is necessary to share my love. I love this story of Paul because it reminds me that though I don't feel like I fit the qualifications of a leader, that God can still use what I have. Though you may not feel you have the qualifications to teach, to preach, to pray in public, to be a good friend to someone, to be a good spouse, parent. You may not feel like you have the good qualifications to do whatever it is that God might be calling you to do, serve on council, trustees. God, if God calls you, God will qualify. God doesn't call the qualified, as I've heard. God qualifies the called. And that gives me such encouragement. It gives me such joy to know that God can use each of us for God's glory. Paul closes with this little dissertation of his with the final line, for when I am weak, then I am strong. God may not take away the things that I want God to take away, but God does give me the strength to get through it in spite of those things. And I thank God for that. Close with this benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen and amen.